In the effort of transparency and fairness, some of our group members who may or may not be participating in this episode work for Tapas and Funimation. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are their own and do not represent the views and opinions of their employers. Additionally, any sponsorship BL Garden or FujoCon receives from either organization was handled by our PR rep, and our members with industry ties had no role in soliciting or obtaining that sponsorship. Now on to the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 801 podcast. I'm your host, Isora, and I have speaking with me today
Mel,
Charles,
and Kit.
And today we are talking about the Kono BL Gaia Bai list from 2020. And speaking on a little about what the Yabai list is, in case you missed our last year's episode, we have Charles.
So this is a yearly publication of like sort of the top 20 BL that came out in the past year. It usually comes out around December 12th. I bought it this year on the ebook version, which you can buy from Amazon Japan. And it's not just the top 20, it actually goes out to a top 100 manga, but it also lists out what they call light novels, which would be MM, which sometimes there are ones that get translated from English that get on that list too, though I didn't see any this year, I think. And then they also have recommendations. If you like these types of things, here's five titles, and then a person who selected those saying why you would like those, and interviews with mangaka. It's pretty interesting, but we're just going to go over the top 20 titles today.
All right, and let's go ahead and start our countdown from 20 to 1, the best titles in Japan from 2020. Mel, can we have you start with number 20?
Yes, we have Anti-Romance by Hidaka Shoko, and this is unlicensed. So for a description, we have Suo, a hairstylist, and Yo, a writer, have been friends since high school. They've also been living together for 6 years, so it's no wonder that people around them question the nature of their relationship. At first glance, they appear to be close friends and nothing else, but they can't seem to leave each other's side. Will their relationship always be at this kind of stalemate, or? So for some themes, tropes, and trigger warnings, we do have cohabitation, slice of life, and pining. I don't really think there were any trigger warnings, but I will say that because of the unrequited love or the like opposites attract theme, it's actually a little bit of a slow burn, so just be warned with that. And from what I was able to read, I mean, we haven't really had any, again, trigger warnings. But to be fair, Shoko Hodaka's work does have somewhat of a checkered past with issues of consent. So just keep that in the back of your mind if you're approaching any of her works, because some of them are better than others for that. So in terms of if I liked this title, spoiler alert, I did like this title because I am a big Shoko Hodaka fan, as everybody knows. I love all things Shoko Hodaka. But I think in this case, they had, it's really that unlikable character or the heavy opposites attract that I think is really appealing for people who like slow burn dynamics, which I'm not usually the biggest fan of slow burns, but a lot of Shoko Hodaka's work is a slow burn. So I've kind of come to appreciate it through that. I think that her work always makes you work for it as the reader. So it's a little difficult, you know, kind of getting started, a little slow start, but it's always worth it in the end. So I have a lot of faith in this title. She's a seasoned BL veteran, so there's really no issues with her art, which can sometimes happen with a lot of these newer titles. So it's really great to look at. And all of her men have this really kind of natural look about them, where I personally feel like I could just step onto the streets of Tokyo and see somebody who looks like her work. So it's not hyper masculine, but it's not really hyper feminine either. It's just very, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to say ordinary in a bad way, but they feel very real in that sense. So for all of those reasons, I really liked this. I liked at least what I got to see of it. I'm excited to see more. So that said, this title is, again, unlicensed, but you can get it from the Japanese publisher. It was in the Rutile magazine, which is published by Gintosha. And if you liked Anti-Romance or like some of the these other titles. If you like anything by Shoko Hidaka, you're probably going to enjoy this if you're just reading all of her work. And if you like anything that's opposites attract storylines, like I would say you find in Thai BL dramas or BL manga with working adults who aren't necessarily salarymen, you're also probably going to enjoy this. But I really have to stress the slow burn in this piece. So I don't think it's something that if you don't like slow burns, definitely don't pick this up. And I mean,
they've been living together for 6 years.
Yeah. Jesus. And to that end, I think that if you like titles like Escape Journey, where it's part of the appeal is you've got two adult men trying to figure out how to live together, or, you know, those realistic aspects of that, it's got a good kind of vibe for that. So our next title, number 19, is Cupid ni Rakurai Suigeki, which is Thunderbolt from Cupid by Suzumura Menta. And this is also unlicensed. But she is also the author of the 2019 Yabai List's Golden Sparkle. Nagata Shingo plays Cupid in school by investigating the target of affection. He finds out what their ideal type is, their favorite food, gives advice when needed, and receives food as a reward. One day, a group of girls who are attracted to the, quote, ice prince ask him to find out the cause of the huge scar in the forehead of the cold Ao. So for some themes and trigger warnings, it is high school boys, school life, love confession, student, that kind of deal. But there is also talk of scars and phobia. And I would also say that this is a bit of an unconventional Semei and Uke if you look just at their appearances and then maybe at how they end up in bed. It may not be like you think it'll be. It's another opposites attract where you have a very dare popular personality type, and then you have a very textbook kudere. And I think that a lot of Suzumura Minta's work has characters that are kind of, I don't know if I would say like himbo light, if that makes any sense. So they're really heavy on the cute and dumb, but not so much on that thick with two C's, because they're high school boys. So it's nowhere near the level of, say, like a 10 count in terms of triggering with the phobias. But since Ao is scared by lightning, if you have that fear or struggle with phobias, this may be a little bit tougher for you to read. And I also think that the entire idea of character is scared by lightning, let me comfort you and distract you with sex, is an oldie but goodie trope, and I'm still here for it.
I'm pretty sure I wrote fan fiction like that.
I still roleplay that. I love that trope. So obviously I liked this title. I personally really love how Suzumura Menta takes these kudere aloof types and transforms them into, I don't want to spoil it, but I like the spice that happens. So her artwork is absolutely gorgeous, and the way that she handles the content, I mean, it's so good. I don't even really mind that it's another high school boy first time romance, which I kind of felt like this year's list was really saturated with that, but maybe I just hadn't consumed that much like Japanese, like fresh new BL in a while. But I think that she puts a twist on all of that. So for me, her work actually feels really fresh, which again is saying something considering how saturated BL is right now.
Get a reference back to your himbo light comment. They sound more like they're himbos in training. So
maybe
they'll grow up.
Just this, like, I don't know if it's like, I guess I forget how dumb high school boys can be sometimes. So maybe this is just like standard operating procedure for the high school male.
I mean,
but just sometimes the stupidity of it, it's like, do y'all just really not know? Like, can you not put two and two together?
I mean, let's be real. If we think about men as a whole
yeah.
and then put them in high school.
Yes.
I think one of my favorite little details that I have about this, though, that I find Minata doing a lot is a more realistic version of like this, the BL where the roof was locked, guys, because roofs are dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
That made me laugh so hard.
It's got common sense.
Yeah. Well, somewhat of common sense. I mean, the boy.
I mean, the characters don't have it.
No, but they don't. But in the world, it's more like,
yeah,
duh.
Yes. Yes. So I think that, I mean, y'all can tell just how much we enjoyed this one. I think that most of us are all really big fans of her work. It might crop up later. We never know. But this one is unfortunately unlicensed, though Futakiya does have other work by Suzumura Menta. So I'm not sure if this one, for whatever reason, just hasn't been licensed yet, if it will or won't be. We can hope that Futakiyo will get it. I personally would love to see further work or anything by her in print. So if Sublime, if you're listening, please. I would really love to see this because I think that her work is, again, like I said, fresh and would be, it's going to be a hit. Like, I can tell you already, this thing will sell. So quote me on that one.
She's consistent too. She's pretty consistent. She's had three really popular titles now.
Yes. I think we're looking at gold, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she knows what Fujo want, and she does it well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, yes. I mean, granted, there's just the three. Haven't read one that made me go, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're, you know, listening and you really liked Golden Sparkle from this year, I think this is a very natural next step. I'd also say if you maybe haven't read Golden Sparkle yet, but you are really enjoying these kind of BL titles that Tokyopop is getting, which are a lot of sweet first-time stories, Just Enough Spice, slightly unconventional Semane Uke pairs like Dekabook or Sugar Days, or if you like even some of the lighter stuff that Sublime has, like if you're reading Given, or maybe even, it's going to be a little out there, but I think something like Jealousy, which isn't exactly pure, but there's that kind of slight twist to what might be like a, you know, your everyday story, that slight kink or unique charm point factor that really turns this into something special. And then this one also is going to be really out there, but I just know if you like Todoroki from My Hero Academia, you're gonna love Owl. Just read it. Just tell me. I don't even watch My Hero, but I was like, this is Todoroki.
That's very, no, that's very good. Yeah, no, that's on point.
All right, so number 18 is Charles.
Okay, so number 18, Skibe no Seishun, Perverted Youth by Hata Takashi. Mitamura, who is a virgin, is obsessed with lewd things and porn, and loves reading it and talking about it with his friends, and he's well known in school for being a hentai. He also realized that there's a friend in his same class, Hayami, who he's just sort of randomly friends with. Somebody mentions one day he never takes off his clothes in public. A person who is good looking and excels in studies and sports, just like a guy out of a shoujo manga, but why doesn't he take off his clothes? What is he hiding? And why am I excited about it? So what happens is that Mitamura is like, what would he look like under his clothes? So he like photoshops a photo of a naked, muscly guy with Hayami's head on it. And like, I think jerks off to it. I don't know. Anyway, he has it on his phone and he's all confused about it. And so then one of his friends accidentally finds the photo and Hayami's there too. So now they know that he has this photoshopped picture of Hayami's head on a hot, naked guy's body. Dot, dot, dot.
Forever embarrassed.
Yes. So themes, tropes, and trigger warnings. The students, student life, high school students, student-student relationship, comedy, moronosexuals, and secret sexy nipples. There's a few things that I really liked about this. With that setup, it seems like it would kind of go into a, especially because secret sexy nipples come into play, like a Sakura type, like gonzo weirdo title, or Harada, something like a lot of Harada's titles, but one that we're going to mention in a minute, Happy Shitty Life. But actually, even though like this Mitamura, the main character's whole life revolves around sex, he's never had it, it does not go into being a super spicy thing. Like, they don't have sex right away. So that was kind of an interesting take on it. Also, it turns out that one of the characters who just always stays away from the guys reading porn and stuff and is like, oh, I don't get that stuff, whatever. Well, it turns out he lives a really sheltered life, and he gets his, like, romance outlet through shoujo manga is how he gets erotic fantasies fulfilled, is by reading shoujo manga. And I laughed at that, too. I like that. So, currently it's unlicensed. It's published in Cab magazine by Tokyo Manga Sha. I hope this one gets picked up, because I did like it. And it's just randomly a slow burn, which it did not seem like it was going to be at all. So I was pleasantly surprised. You'll probably like this if you like simplified pervert romance, just because of the, like, weird attraction the two people have for each other, for different reasons, I guess. don't be cruel, but not the rapey part, but the how there's one character super horny and the other character super innocent part. Mm-hmm. In the same way as Golden Sparkle, where the one guy is knows all about sex, even though he's never had it. And then the other guy who knows nothing about it, and is they're both kind of blushing the whole time. So I think that would be probably the best comparisons that I could think of.
Yeah.
Oh, also, the shoujo manga is called Choco Berry. And I just... So, yes. All right. So, moving on to number 17 is Blue Sky Complex. I have said many times I like this one. It's been on the BL Yobai list for many years, so I'm not really going to go that far into it. But just very briefly, it's by Ichikawa Kei. Narasaki only wanted a place where he could sit and read books in peace, but was blackmailed by his teacher into supervising a delinquent called Terashima while working in the school library. As they spend their days in silent but close proximity, they begin to feel drawn to each other. And then... So, one of the characters is a delinquent. It's a slow romance, student-student relationship in high school, school life, opposites attract. As future volumes go on, they move into being in college. I like it. Briefly, it's a new wave. It's a slow burn. One of the characters is out to his mom, who is supportive, and he's gay and says so. Both the characters are kind of strong and masculine characters. Mainly, they're not pushovers. They're both well-rounded. The other character, who's not gay from the beginning, has this big family, has cute younger brothers, and it's just kind of unproblematic in a lot of ways, and seems realistic, which is what I like about it. For more information on this, go to previous recordings where we talked about it, including last year's Yobai list. I believe Mel finally read this one, right?
I did. I caught a lot of flack last year for not having read it. And I will say that it took me, I think the first two volumes, I was kind of like, I'm going to keep reading. But then around volume 3 or 4, when they get into college, one of the characters has a dramatic change. And it was just like, in terms of their appearance, and it was just floodgates, like, oh my gosh, I'm in love. So that really did make a difference for me. But I finally came around. I could see the appeal of it.
Yeah,
I'm a convert.
Yeah, I really like it.
Because it is kind of run of the mill for a lot of it. But I think it just... in sort of a docu-say, like, perfect way, in kind of, I guess, docu-say is probably a good comparison, too. It's run in several of the New Wave BL magazines, Cab, Fig, and Marble. They're up in Japanese through Volume 6. I don't know if Volume 7 is out yet or not. But if you are a fan of Apple and Honey, No Touching at All, docu-say, you'd like this. Some of them are sort of a slow burn. And then some of Ogaretsu Tanaka stuff, because... Mm-hmm. One of the characters, Terashima, he's a delinquent. He's not a full-on Yankee, but he's sort of makes himself an outcast a little bit, and he gets in fights because he thinks it's fun, I guess. But he says that other guys are always trying to come to him to fight it. He's not starting it or whatever. Anyway, because he's a little bit of a delinquent in that way, some of Ogaretsu Tanaka stuff, like Renai Ruby, for example, mm-hmm. or maybe even Neon Sign Amber, kind of has the same vibe as this in that way.
I'm surprised it hasn't been published yet.
I know. I would really, 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 really love this one to get licensed.
I mean,
English.
It's been consistently on this list, and it's up to 6 volumes. I guess it's intimidating because it's a series to pick up. I don't know.
Or maybe there's just something with the licensor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that, with it being this popular in Japan and we still don't have it, like... there's got to be something going on in the business side, because that's just weird.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also possible that maybe just not enough people have actually mentioned it, because I think even though something's on the list, you know, they've got to take a chance on it. And because, like, Sublime was really surprised that, like, everybody was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you got Mad K, because they were like, not a single one of y'all emailed us about Mad K. so maybe we actually just need to email Sublime and be like, Blue Sky Complex, please.
Yeah, at you in our Yobai list.
If the things that are doing well for publishers like Sublime are things that are more extreme, I mean, this is not going to fit in that category.
No.
So, I mean, even if it was licensed only online by Renta, even if I had to pay for every single chapter, I would be very happy.
I could see Seven Seas picking this up. Like, this is a title that I feel like would fit Seven Seas. It's a little more explicit than what Tokyo Pop is picking up, but it's not that explicit. I could see it being like Go For It Nakamura-kun and stuff like that. I could see it fitting there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I love that one. Mm-hmm.
Seven Seas, pick this up.
We're calling you out, Seven Seas.
You will be added.
This whole, the when I post a link to this, is just going to be ads to different companies.
All of them. Just yes. All of the BL companies.
Yep.
All right.
And next is number 16. That's me. I have a title that should be pretty familiar to all of you, especially loyal listeners to the podcast of the 801 Reviewed. We've done a review of this title. It is Coyote by Zarya Ranmaru. It is published by Sublime. And if you haven't heard of this title, you've been sleeping under a rock. So here's the description. In order to conceal that he's a werewolf, Coyote avoids getting too involved with the humans. But Marlene, a pianist at a bar he frequents, is interested in him and won't take no for an answer. But not like in the creepy way. But when Coyote unexpectedly goes into heat for the first time, Marlene catches him while he's unable to maintain his human form and offers a tempting invitation. Coyote wants to resist, but can he?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
If you don't want people to know you're a werewolf, but you call yourself Coyote, I just...
I know, it's kind of on the nose there.
Boy, come on. I'm sorry, that's just one thing I have on this that I'm just like, buddy.
He was hoping to do like the reverse psychology where, right? Of course I wouldn't be a werewolf because why would I name myself Coyote?
Exactly, yeah. He's like, this is a whole trick. You'll never get it, buddy.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm sorry, I finally had to say it.
So what are some of the themes and tropes and warnings for this title? So like we said in our Reviewed, on our sister podcast, the 801 Reviewed, there is threesome, there is heterosexual sex, there is dubcon, there is heat cycles, there is very mild gore. I mean, we have werewolves. What are we kidding ourselves? There's, of course, the forbidden love aspect. There's the lovers to enemies. There's the werewolf heat cycles. Possible nodding? Probable nodding. No alpha-beta dynamics as of now. And, of course, there's a mafia theme. So if you don't love something in that, I don't know why you're reading BL. No. I mean, that covers a pretty large genre of things people are like, I like that. Did I like this title? Yes. I love everything Zarya Ranmaru has ever touched and created. I don't know why, but she just is amazing. I liked the sex. I liked the story. It's really in-depth and intriguing, but it does not forget the payoff, which is the sex. And also the art. The art is gorgeous. Her men are not feminine. They're not hyper-masculine. They're just the perfect in-between. I love it. And also, of course, I'm a sucker for the supernatural. Even if I'm more of a vampire fan than a werewolf fan, I still love this. So, this title is actually available. If you want to pick it up, Sublime has 1-3 available today. When you're listening to this, you can go out, go to Write Stuff, go to Sublime, buy these titles. Fans of what other media would be fans of this title? So, to give you some prime werewolf titles that are not manga, because we give you a bunch of manga titles in our Reviewed episode, so go check that out. But to give you some that weren't mentioned there and some that definitely have werewolves, I would suggest Lucid's The Hunt webcomic. Lucid has been doing webcomics since 2010, I think, was when I first started following her. The Hunt is a new webcomic that she's putting out. It's absolutely wonderful. Really sexy, nerdy kid who's also in love. Like, this guy has this unrequited love. He's a werewolf. So if you like that title, you'll like this title and you'll vice versa. Another good story that you might like is an MM romance book by TJ Klune called Wolf Song. It's a whole series. The first one is Wolf Song. It's about packs of wolves and interfighting. It's got that same sort of mafia feel that Coyote has between the different packs or wolf packs and the fighting that they have between each other. It has that sort of forbidden romance kind of feel between a human and a werewolf. It's very good. Very good. So that is what I had for number 16. And of course, we've talked a lot about that title, so I'm not surprised it made the Yabai again. Next up is Mel with number 15.
All right, we have Itsuka Koi ni Naru Made by Kurahashi Tomo. The English title is Someday I'll Fall for You. Chiaki and Kazuma have been brought up like brothers. but as they get older, their relationship starts to change. One night, when Chiaki's staying over, Kazuma is woken by strange sounds coming from the futon next to him, only to find Chiaki touching himself. Kazuma offers to help him out, as you do, and his touch confuses but excites Chiaki. As they touch one another, Kazuma sees a look on Chiaki's face he's never seen before. After they come down from their high, Chiaki avoids Kazuma's gaze because he doesn't want Kazuma to see how flushed he is, and also because he's finally realized his true feelings for his friend. Following on from that day, the two of them touch each other like it's some kind of game. So this is the prequel to Let's Be a Family. So for some of the themes, the most obvious one being childhood best friends and friends to lovers, though they do describe them as, quote, like brothers, so you may feel that since they grew up together, it's not your jam. Or it is. These are high school students again, so may or may not be your thing. I don't really think there were any trigger warnings, but I will say the sequel series is one of those family-oriented BL, so long-term, if gay dads raising children is not your thing, maybe don't start this one. I know that kids are, for some people, it's a nope.
A child.
Yeah. And it's not like because people are against gay people having kids. It's just not what they want to read about.
Yeah. Yeah. I should state that. Which it's kind of interesting because that's like a little micro trend we're seeing in the BL world, which I had seen both of those covers separately and did not realize they were related.
I agree, actually, because I read this one and then I went on to read like the first chapter, I guess, of Let's Be a Family. And it definitely seemed like it was two totally different things, different mangaka, different characters. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have guessed.
Maybe
that
the
either.
Mangaka was going through a style shift.
Yeah, it might be that she did one, like she did the second one first, almost is what it felt like.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised to see this one on the Yabai list because I felt like it came out like 2 or 3 years ago. Like, I felt like it was old. So I don't know if there was like a sequel, like a second volume to this story in Japan, or I should have done the research to see. But I was like, wait, because I read this like at least like a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
It has 10 chapters. So I think the first 5 chapters came out previous and then the second 5 came out.
That makes sense. Regardless, I loved this title. It's 100% made for me. And I mean, childhood best friends, like, of course, I'm in love.
Like brothers.
Yeah. I know. Like, it's not a deal breaker. And I especially really like that it's kind of like that, you know, dumb boys who don't realize their feelings despite the sheer amount of mutual masturbation they're engaging
That's
in.
Like chef kiss, honestly. It's like, oh, yeah. We're just doing this because, you know.
Yeah, like at one point he's like, he looked at me with like a lustful gaze and I'm like, because of something he was doing, which I won't spoil, but I was like, no shit, like what else is he gonna like?
Right.
That's how it works. Like,
isn't an anger fuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry. People just don't do that unless they really like you. Like,
yeah.
But I've really enjoyed Kurahashi Tomo's work for a while now, and so I'm really happy that this title did make the list. I'm excited to check out more of the sequel series because I haven't really delved too much into the kind of like family BL, but this one seems like a good one for me to start with. This title is available from Renta, as well as the sequel series, so you can read it legally there, but it's not yet in print, so it's possible that it could still get picked up somewhere. For what other, you know, like, comp titles there would be, like, I hate to, like, keep saying Golden Sparkle, but, like, Golden Sparkle is a really good one for, like, if you read last year's list and you're looking for other stuff like that, I think it's got the same kind of dumb high school boys exploring their bodies with each other, you know, practical learning, that, you know, that kind of stuff. But I really felt like the artwork actually had very strong Given vibes. Chiaki in particular is like kind of Mafuyu, just from the art alone. If you like Natsuki Kizu's stuff, you'll like this one. And if you've been reading any of the childhood best friend stories that Tokyo Pop's had a lot of them, like Deca Book of Sugar Days or Replay, or if you're looking for a title or maybe you can watch the characters grow, like an escape journey, this will be a good one too. And for number 14, we have Kit.
All right. So number 14, we have Kaniteki, which is Simplified Pervert Romance by Sekihara Neg. And you can find this on Futakiya, so yay, legal reading. Mm. And here's the description. A lone wolf with a delinquent streak, Kashima enters high school with a reputation that scares off his classmates. Little do his classmates know, Kashima's not your typical delinquent. He's a masochist that enjoys being hit by guys. Ryoji Sanada, despite Kajima's reputation, goes out of his way to talk to Kashima on the first day of high school. Confused by Ryoji, Kashima rebuffs his handsome classmate. But when Ryoji intervenes in one of Kashima's fights, and attempts to get off, Kashima realizes that Ryoji might just have a secret perversion too. Dot dot dot. So some themes, tropes, and trigger warnings for this title. So I think the big trigger warning everyone wants to know beforehand, there is a little bit of reverse rape.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not into that, don't read this. There's also some sounding and masochism because, yes, Kashima is a masochist and it comes into play a lot. So
he's a do-em.
He's a do-em?
Yeah, that's like do is like really M for masochist. He's a super masochist. He's a do-em.
Man, that fits him to a T. Other triggers, I guess, fetish as well, because it is a fetish for Kashima. And then you find out some stuff about Ryuji, won't spoil. And then, of course, there's delinquents, high school students, and I would say friends with benefits, ? Mm-hmm. At the beginning. I mean, they kind of, yeah. But did I like this title? Yes, I actually really enjoyed reading this, and I'm eager for there to be more. Currently on Futakiya, it's up to volume 3, so we're patiently awaiting volume 4. I really like the characters. I like a lot of the humor in it. Like, I laughed out loud a lot to this one. As I mentioned, this is available on Futakiya. The first chapter is free if you don't have a subscription yet, but we highly recommend you do get a subscription so you can keep up to date on titles like this and other yabai titles. And if you're a fan, I'm going to kind of go on the webcomic route because there's so many delinquent manga that could be named. So I would also say webcomic-wise, if you like the kind of dumb feelings between the boys, Player Heart Player, I kind of got some vibes from it. Like, Player Heart Player is definitely way softer. There's no masochism. But if you're A-okay with the masochism and you like to see some of that in the spice scenes, Scandalous M is another good example. It's very much about a guy who enjoys getting hit and whipped and stuff during sex. So those would be, if you're fans of those, highly recommend this
definitely.
One. And now on to number 13, Charles.
Okay, number 13. Okamie no yomeiri ishukon intan. Marriage to the Wolf, Interspecies Marriage. That pretty much says it all, by Ine Ihana. With a bad harvest and more mouths to feed, the Hare Village, and by hare, we're talking about bunnies, not, you know, on your head. The Hare Village struggles to come up with ways to get through the year. One night, the answer to their prayers comes from the Wolf Tribe? Monthly food rations for 2 years, enough for their whole village in exchange for one of their own to betroth of Kuroi family's son. After a long journey to the Wolf Tribe, Kaede, who has sworn to find happiness in his new life, is immediately thrown into a pre-marriage ceremony with his new fiancé, Ren. What will Kaede do after meeting the completely insufferable and mean Ren, who he has to marry? Themes, tropes, and trigger warnings, bestiality, I mean, they're both beasts, so whatever. Anthropomorphic beast, rape, arranged marriage, tsundere seme, and rape to become married because the wolf is so much bigger than the bunny, basically, which they're bunny people and wolf people, not actual bunnies and wolves, but because of their size difference, basically, they have to have a sort of a nightly preparation of the rabbit for like a month. They drug him and stuff to make it easier, and it's pretty traumatic, but I do like that they portray it as being traumatic. It's not sexy. Mm-hmm. In my reading of it. So I could live with it, I guess. So normally this doesn't seem like something I would like, but I liked it more than I expected because the characters are cute. They basically look like humans, but then they have whatever their animal they are. They have those ears, and I think some of them have tails too. So the rabbit people are pretty cute, especially. And then the interspecies marriage part is very common in their world. especially the wolves marry other species a lot. We learn why later on. And then it had a sort of a twist at the end that I didn't really expect coming. They surprised me with what happened because there wasn't really a whole lot of lead up to it. And we're like, oh, that's why he has to marry a rabbit, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it was interesting. So it's available actually completely on Futakiya. The first chapter is free. And if you're a monthly member, you can read all the chapters. And I struggled a little bit to come up with what other BL media you'd like, because I don't usually read this sort of thing. Definitely has Sex Pistols vibes in a lot of ways. And then maybe actually also Titan's Bride.
Yeah.
Because of the it's an arranged marriage. One character is a lot larger than the other one. And various things. What did you guys think?
I think that The God and the Flightless Messenger by Tokyopop, because this is really one of those like anthropomorphic kind of like not monster fucking, but like they're not like animals, but they're kind of like animal people, like Kimono Mimi. And so that one is kind of like along those lines. And then there's another one that just came out by Tokyopop, and I can't remember the name of it, but like The Cat or something.
Oh, The Cat Proposes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just Beastars. That's all I could think of.
I do think that there is a fair trigger warning that is a bit of a spoiler. But I will say that there is an actual, like, not anthropomorphic wolf involved at one point in sexual things. I will say that because I think that's fair, because that threw me for a huge loop.
That is true. That is true. And I saw you wrote a note here.
Did he just fuck a wool?
Like an actual wolf? Yeah.
Like a wolf-wolf?
Like a wolf-wolf?
And that is a different kind of non-consensual, but...
Yeah.
In a really just weird way, and... It's not for anybody's own pleasure.
No, no one enjoyed themselves in that entire scene, but it does happen, right. And I think you should know it before you read this title.
That's true. Thank you for bringing that up, because that is slightly a spoiler that one of them can and does turn in. Actually, I guess it's portrayed throughout that the wolves can turn into actual wolves sometimes.
Yeah, but it's like a wolf wolf, and it's not
they
fun.
They normally don't have sex like that, apparently, so... Yeah, you would hope not with a rabbit and a wolf. So that's Marriage to the Wolf. Interspecies marriage. The title says it all.
Okay, number 12. So we have Meppo Yatara to Yoakai ni Kiss, which is Absurdly, Recklessly, and Timidly Kiss by Koshino. This is unlicensed and honestly really hard to find. So we don't have too much info on it, unfortunately. We weren't able to read it, but this is an Omegaverse title. So if you're into Omegaverse, there's a good chance you're going to like it. And honestly, if you can at least find the cover if you search for it online, and it does look really cute. I mean, I'm not an Omegaverse fan, but I might read this one.
I might have to read this one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just based on the cover, it looks like a lot of fun. So some themes, tropes, and trigger warnings, just based on what we know so far, it looks like it's going to be a comedy. Again, Omegaverse, because it was serialized by Tokyo Omegaverse or Tokyo Mangasha, and they're definitely high school students of some sort, and then it's either going to be friends to lovers or rivals to lovers. I mean, it could go either way. And like we said, it's not currently available, but we hope it will be soon. And that's about all we can give you. So we'll move on to number 11.
That is me. Oh, I'm so ready. This is the one I called dibs on when we did this list. Number 11. Sona ni lunare date yaru. I will hold you if you say so by Niyama. It is unlicensed.
That's a working title, by the way. I'll hold you if you say so is
my attempt at a translation
there.
It sounds sweet. I hope that is the title.
Maybe it's I'll hold you if you insist. You know, kind of like I'm doing you a favor.
Oh, is it more tsundere? Is that kind of the theme?
Maybe.
I mean, I could see that with his character. I could see him being like, I'll hold you if you insist.
Like, so nani yunara is like, well, if you say so.
Yeah. All right, so that's our description, but, you know, give you an idea of the title. A two-faced guy who is only into one night stands. Beautiful, narcissistic prince whose body is more honest than him. An average office worker by day, a gay magnet playboy by night, Urakawa Shinobu was living it up as the top without anybody knowing his double life, or that's how it should have been. Suddenly, the narcissistic prince of the sales department, Omoteya Hikaru, appears at the gay bar Shinobu frequents, with his half-baked plan to be popular with guys too? Hikaru's invasion of Shinobu's favorite haunt is getting in the way of his game. So, to regain his oasis, Shinobu decides to make a move on Hikaru. You've been waiting, right? For me to hit on you, that is.
Anytime something involves a half-baked plan, you know it's gonna be good.
Like, oh, I have so much.
I mean,
Hikaru.
It's so, you know there's gonna be stupidity abound. And it's just,
I mean,
be
he
a good
is
time.
Stupidity. Like, if he that is. Title, if that description has not moved you personally, then I don't know. We don't have the same taste.
Because this, we may not
this
be
was
true
like,
friends.
I saw this and I'm like, I am 100% ready, and I'm still not ready. So some of the themes and tropes and warning, fucking Gap Moe.
Yes.
Can I tell you, he goes from, I don't even know you're in the office and you scare the shit out of me because you're right behind me, to being sex on legs in the bar. And I'm like, what? Biggest Gap Moe I've ever seen. He goes from like crazy different extremes. I love it. Comedy, of course. Romance, office worker, bar scene. He's a narcissist. Hikaru, that is. I guess they both are kind of narcissistic.
Yeah.
Disguises, because Shinobu kind of wears a disguise to go to work. And also a persistent uke, because Hikaru has a plan.
A half-baked one, but a plan.
He has a plan. So did I like this title? Oh my god, yes. My first thought reading this title before I found out the Gap Moe was, I thought, oh my god, it's Nekazawa from Ouran High School, ex Tamaki.
Yeah.
Because the sales department guy comes out and he has roses behind him and he's this blonde flamboyant mm-hmm. character and I'm like, that's Tamaki. And then the other guy comes out and he has the gloom cloud around him and he's pushing a cart and he's scaring the crap out of people because they don't know he's there and I'm like, he's Nekazawa.
Yeah. That's a spot on comparison.
Yep. Yep.
There's even twins, the twins that work at the bar that
yes.
are hilarious.
That's right. I forgot. There are twins. So basically, Ouran High School.
Adult Ouran High School.
The second thought was, wow, that Gap Moe. Shinobu goes from Nekazawa to Kristoff. Like,
that's true.
He's like Yuri Katsudon to Yuri Eros. Like, fuck.
He threw off that gloomy cloak and he was naked underneath. That's Nekazawa.
Exactly. He was just a god. I love the characters. I love how over the top they are. And of course, I have a type. My type is Tamaki. My type is Laser Navel. My type is Yorgi Popovich. My type is Hal. I could go on. But let me tell you, Hikaru is my type from this story. He is that type of character. So if those characters are like, oh yes, I love them, you're going to love Hikaru because he has one brain cell and he left it at home and forgot where he put it.
Hey, it happens, okay?
His idea is, in order to prove that he's the perfect specimen of man, is to make sure that not only, because women are falling over him left and right, and he's like, but in order to be the perfect man, I have to have men and women fall over me.
Obviously.
So hence, go to a gay bar. And I'm like, oh my god. But wow, that Gap Moe.
That's when you're doing the toxic masculinity right.
Exactly.
Honestly, though, like, hey, if you're going to be a toxic man, at least make sure you're appealing to everyone.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, and this is by Niyama, who's a fan favorite, who also did My Policeman, Boku no Mori-san, and Spend Wisely, both of which are available on Renta.
Yeah.
So even though this isn't licensed yet, I think there's definitely some precedent for it being able to get to Renta, where they have several of her titles.
That's true. I mean, I would love it on print, but...
One day.
That would be fun. Back up, I forgot to mention that number 12, Meppo Yatara, that one is by the same mangaka who did Samejima-kun and Sasahara-kun.
Oh, really?
Oh.
That's yes. what I that thought. I was like, I thought it was her, but I couldn't remember the name of it.
The cover is actually similar.
It is.
One of them sort of climbing onto the other one.
That like, I loved that story.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah, it definitely seems going to be like a Sparks Fly kind of thing.
And that was published by Sublime. So, Sublime, come pick up that title so we can read it.
No, that was actually a June title.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Yeah. Well, we still would like Sublime to get it.
We would still like Sublime to get it.
I'm just going to tag Sublime in our post of this. Just be like, hey, we ask you hey, for a lot of things in this episode.
We're helping you do some market research.
Yeah. Please listen and follow our requests.
Yes. But yes, so this title, the Gapmoe title, is unlicensed. It was published in Moment Magazine by Tekeshobo. How you would know if you like this title is if you were an avid fan of Ouran High School, I would say you would like this title. I would also say you'd like this title if you like huge Gapmoe. And I have a suggestion for those who may have read it. The second book of Tell Me It's Real series, which is, has The Queen and the Homojot King by T.J. Klune.
Sandy, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, Sandy's Gapmoe from Sandy to Helena Handbasket is ridiculous. Uh-huh. And not to mention that they Dr. Seuss fucking at one point. I mean, it's a comedy and it's great. So if you like that Gapmoe, the no brain cell, the stupid... You're going to like that title. Also, if you like comedy of Cherry Magic, 30 Years of Virginity Can Make You a Wizard, you would also like this title. It's got the same kind of over-the-top hilarity comedy that you have in that title as well. And I think that'll close out that. So if we want to go on to number 10, Mel.
Top 10.
Yes, hitting the top 10. This one should be no surprise. It's been on the Yabai list for quite a while. Also made our Yeet list. We have Given by Natsuki Kizu. Sometimes a song can save your life. Ritsuka Ueno-yama is bored with it all. School, his basketball club, and even his one true passion, playing guitar. That is, until the day he finds his favorite hidden napping spot, occupied by a strange boy cradling a broken stringed guitar. At first, Ueno-yama is nonplussed by Mafuyu Sato and his slightly odd behavior. But when on a whim, he asks Mafuyu to sing, the power of that song pierces him to the core. So the most obvious theme is music, and for tropes we have high school romance, but also ensemble cast and a romance between two adults. There is discussion of sexual orientation, and you have gay, bi, and characters who maybe initially think they're straight, but may no longer, you know, think they're all that heterosexual. Some reoccurring themes are grief and loss, coming to terms with your relationship or its ending, being a genius and the issues of talent versus hard work and how you deal with that, and just communication in general in the relationship. So I will say, contrary to the public opinion about the purity and goodness of Given, there are some major trigger warnings. There is suicide, bullying and homophobia, and rape. Volumes 2 through 3 take us past the TV anime and into movie territory, so that should tell you a lot about how the story goes. So did I particularly love this title? I really do love Given. I will say that I watched the anime first because the manga was not out legally when the anime first began streaming 2 years ago. And Given isn't a good manga because it checks off the boxes for quote-unquote good or healthy BL. It's a good manga because it's a damn compelling story and takes the time to show rather than tell the characters' emotions. It has a lot to do with showing because these boys still don't really communicate well. I mean, they're high school boys. But that in and of itself lets you really see their personalities, I think more so than a lot of other BL really do. And the fact that Given is an ongoing series, you get a lot more depth out of it. And for being such a soft romance with the most cinnamon roll of cinnamon rolls, Given really does discuss some pretty deep and dark things that I don't think you see that often in BL, like the suicide, bullying, breaking up, and staying broken up. Not every character, you know, has the perfect romance. And I think because of the range of characters and their experiences, there's a little something for everybody. I can protectively watch over Mafuyu and Ritsuka, but at the same time really deeply resonate with the experiences of Akihiko and Haruki. So that ensemble cast actually really enhances the story for me, even if it means that sometimes we do get less screen time with our main couple, and it turns into a really solid romance, BL or not. So Given has gotten a lot of flack recently, and Twitter's kind of hot take is that this is really a shoujo manga. not a BL, surprise, surprise. But I now have to, I really have to disagree with that. Like, at first I was like, well, they're not wrong. Like, spot the lie. But I think that just because Given is a well-written slow burn with not a lot of spice does not make it a shoujo. I don't know who still needs to hear this, but Given runs in a BL magazine. Given is drawn for Fujoshi. Given is 100% a BL. So
it
that's kind of
the
like
BL list in Japan.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for God's sakes.
I will say that some titles that were only bromances have made this list before.
Nah.
But still, it is in a BL magazine.
Yeah, it's not going to negate it. And it's hard to talk about Given without the context of like how antis tried to take Given from us when the anime happened. You know, the developments that we saw in the movie that kind of like, for me, I don't think they negate everything people said, but I'm like, okay, y'all said that Given was like the best thing since like sliced bread, but like Akihiko is kind of an asshole towards Haruki and does a lot of like not okay shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like you have to take sometimes what people are saying about Given with a grain of salt and to read it for yourself to see whether you're going to enjoy it. You know, like I definitely enjoyed it. I felt for me, it lived up to a lot of the hype. But I think that that's something that you need to have that journey yourself and not just like go based off what people are saying online. So this title is, if you do want to have that journey of discovery with Given, it is available in print from Sublime. Volumes 1 through 3 are out now, though I understand that volume 3 is currently undergoing a reprint because this is selling like hotcakes. So if you get your hand on a copy, go ahead and do that.
Hopefully by the time this episode releases, they'll have been able to send out the reprints.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they've got plans because I think it's up to what, like volume 6 in Japan now?
Yeah.
Or maybe even 7. It's going quite far. So definitely please support the publication in print or digital. We're really lucky that Sublime picked this up.
Also, the fact that Sublime's publishing it, it's a BL.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. But sometimes, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make that horse fucking drink the water.
I know. It's just, we gotta really hammer it in.
I know, because that's one thing that I'm like, look, don't come for my BL stuff and try to take it away from me.
Yeah.
We can both like this, and just because you're an anti for BL doesn't mean that you still can't like Given. Like, they have to justify the fact that they enjoy Given by making it not a BL, and I'm like, ugh. I'm sorry. It's just, you know.
That's like when somebody... when a dude does a cover of a song that is singing about a guy and he changes the lyrics to her because they're cowards. That's just, that's what that feels like.
Yeah. Anyway, I've personally never met anybody who didn't like Given when they read it. Since the range of characters really speak to a variety of Fujoshi and all of our different experiences. So a lot of fans probably are interested in reading this because it got the anime and the movie. But I also think that if you're somebody who really takes pride in reading what's hot and popular, either in the US or Japan for BL. So if you're, you know, consumed things like Junjo, Ten Count, Yarachin, or Dakaichi for these very reasons, because they got anime, they were hyper popular. Given is probably the biggest BL title in a long time, certainly in the US since Ten Count. So definitely check it out just to know what the fuck's going on in BL right now. However, if you're somebody who likes BL, like Dokusei, this softer stuff from Tokyo Pop, like Koi Monogatari, or even like I Hear the Sunspot, all of these titles kind of bridge the gap between BL and LGBT manga because they touch on issues of sexual orientation, or are BL that, for whatever reason, hit different for enough people that they sometimes get uplifted above other BL titles. Not going to get into that argument today. But Given falls right into that same kind of list. And I also think that if you enjoy music stories like Whimsical Jaguar, or maybe you, when you were younger, you know, read stuff like Nana, or you've seen anime like Kids on the Slope, those are all music stories. So you're going to enjoy Given for the very same themes. And I guess Gravitation maybe for that same reason.
I feel like if you liked Nana and really wanted the two Nanas to get together, then you should read Given.
Yeah. Definitely.
So there we go.
All right. Number 9, Kit.
Number 9, we have Shigatsu no Tokyo wa, or Tokyo in April by Haru. So this is another unlicensed title, unfortunately, but soon maybe. Are you against being my sex friend? The new employee Kazuma, who returned to Tokyo from America, reunites with his close friend from middle school, Ren, who is currently working as the top designer at their company. It is their first meeting since the abrupt farewell during their third year in middle school 10 years ago. Rin was his best friend and his first love. He is as strong and good-looking as ever, and Kazuma is just happy to be with him. However, Rin avoids the subject of their time in middle school rather unnaturally and acts like a friendly former classmate. But he's behaving this way because he is gay, and above all, fears being rejected by Kazuma. Yet, one night, the two of them get together and... So, if it's not obvious from the summary, the themes, tropes, and all that are office workers, past friendship, and slice of life. I would say, you know, friends to lovers, and then pining, things like that. I don't really think there were any trigger, like nothing that I can think of, but I'm also desensitized to a lot of things.
Also, we could only read the first
chapter. Yeah, also it hasn't gotten that far. But because we only have one chapter, I mean, based on the summary, I would say this is definitely my jam. I like poor communication. Is that a weird thing to admit? Like, everything in BL is all about poor communication, but it leads to some great scenes, so...
Yeah, I wrote down unlicensed, can only read first chapter, but seems like the kind of story I'd like.
Yeah, it definitely has the vibe where it's like, yeah, I'm going to read more of this.
And salarymen.
If you like those salarymen, come get them. Again, this is unlicensed, but the Japanese publisher is Ear Hertz, or published by Taiyo Tosho. Because we only have one chapter, there's not a lot to, I guess, compare it to yet, but I put down Banana Scandal if you like webcomics, because it definitely has that vibe of like, oof, I gotta keep the secret, and then I have a feeling that things are gonna go in a way that, you know, they'll be having more secrets, but they'll be much more intimate, but we'll see. And then also 30 years of virginity makes you cherry magic. Long ass titles. That's all we got on this one, but I have a good feeling it's going to be good.
I would also say, like, if you were a fan of World's Greatest First Love, because they had that kind of, like, we were together, and then we actually work together now, and then there's that awkward, like, work relationship.
Yeah, Sekaiichi vibes, very much so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's all we got. Let's go on to number 8.
Number 8 is me. All right. I like saying this title because it's fun. Achira Kochira Bokura. Isn't that fun?
That is fun. How it,
boop, boop, boop. No A Kara to Kore Kara by Thanat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it is currently, at least this particular title is a continuation of Here, There, Us, which is available on Futakiya. But this sequel is not currently available. But because Futakiya has the prequel, I'm pretty sure they're gonna get the sequel, so it's just a waiting game, but it is currently unlicensed, so I actually couldn't find it anywhere. What I ended up doing was reading Here, There, and Us, so I'm gonna give you a description of that, and if I tell you a little about the prequel, maybe it'll give you some ideas of what we're gonna see in this sequel that was made the number 8. So the description for Here, There, and Us is: one day Majima, everyone's favorite person in class, gets to see a surprising side of Snooki. Which, by the way, every time I read that, I read Snooki. It made it very interesting for me.
Oh, man.
So, Snooki, the classroom introvert. Since then, Majima can't help but notice Snooki and call him out for no reason at all, hoping for any kind of reaction. When Snooki turns red and gets all shy like that, how can Majima not fall in love with him? But when it's time to go up a grade, they're not in the same class anymore. So, some themes, tropes, and trigger warnings. I'm going to start with themes. There's a classmate, slice of life. It's kind of a bit of a comedy. I wouldn't say that it made me laugh out loud, but there were moments that were funny. It's a slow burn. No, really. I put in the capitals, slow burn. I cannot stress this enough. Out of all the other ones look like they just fuck immediately compared to this one. This one is a slow burn. and you got to be here for it because it is really slow. But also, I think it feels more slow to me as well because there's very little payoff in Here, There, and Us. Like, there's a partial kiss, the end. And damn. I'm like...
And by the way, that one that you read was number one on the Yabai list last
damn,
year.
Damn, people be living for these, like, slow burns, and I don't get it.
I will tell you why I think that. It's because this title, and one of the reasons I liked it was... It feels like a really, really real slice of life. I mean, these kids are talking about their... I mean, you see it in BL a lot, like entrance exams and all this other stuff. But this feels more like an everyday kind of... It almost feels dull at some points because it feels so normal. Like these boys are actually going to school, they're doing their thing, and they just happen to be really close friends. And their friends, you know, hassle them about it. And it just kind of goes through that everyday monotony, but it goes through their eyes and it shows their kind of relationship and how it grows, which I feel like a lot of people who have been in high school and have lived that experience and know people like this, they can relate to it more, whereas Western audiences might not connect with this story as much because we don't go to a Japanese school as high school students.
What?
I know.
But I thought...
I swore.
So this is basically like the most slice of life slice of life.
That's how I see that. A lot. It's kind of like the monotony of it that kind of gets me. Like they're just... He's like, oh no, I have a C on an exam. So then the whole next chapter, he's trying to get a higher grade. And then he's proud of himself and he goes, look, you can be proud of me not being an idiot, you know?
So is it boy's life instead of one of the, yeah, one of those
if,
where...
if we had to do a boy's life, boo.
I know, I hate that term. But I think that to that point, like, there are definitely some titles like that now where it's a little bit heavier on the, like, boys being boys yeah. and doing things.
I would definitely say that. I would also say... That since I'm mostly speaking towards the prequel, and since this number 8 is the sequel, there might be more payoff in the actual one that made it to this year's Your Buy list that hasn't been published yet. So I'm interested to see because I've now have gone through the whole Here, There, and Us. And so I'm like, well, now I got to finish and see if there's actually a payoff in this next one. So when, you know... Futakiya gets this title, if they get this title, I will definitely be reading it. And I think they probably will.
Yeah, there's been a rise of, like, bromance versus romance titles getting acclaim. One Room Angel by Harada, even though the, like, one-shot chapter that was sort of almost based on was porny, but the actual one-volume manga itself was not at all. It was basically about two friends.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because this is kind of like that, too.
What's the Fujoshi term for blue balls? Like, I feel like sometimes that's what these give me. It's like when you had to wait 13 episodes for one kiss, but in manga form.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, One Room Angel on last year's Your Buy list also was number 3. And I finally read it recently because Futakiya released it. Mm. And I mean, I'm glad they didn't have sex because one of them is a junior high school kid or high school kid. And the other one's like a middle-aged guy. So it was a little bit of a relief there, but also, like, neither one of them found a romantic partner the whole time. And so it was like, why is this a BL?
Yeah.
But apparently it is. And it's Harada, which is the weirdest
that
thing
That is
ever.
Weird from Harada. That is not something I'd expect. But this one is, it definitely highlights their intense, close friendship, I would say. Because they are close. They're attached at the hip. Everyone always asks him, hey, where's so-and-so? And he's like, why are you asking me? And they're like, because you're the only person who knows him. That's, I mean, they're kind of attached at the hip. They're kind of one brain cell, kind of symbiotic relationship. And all their friends find it, like, take it for granted, really, pretty much. Like, oh, yeah, you'll see so-and-so with so-and-so. That's obvious. But it doesn't become romantic to, like, the last 3 panels. But I would say that I'm going to check out the sequel, see if they have a payout. I'm hoping Futakiya will get it. And I would also say that the fans of What Did You Eat Yesterday would be fans of this title. Fans of I Hear the Sunspot, which is also a pretty slow burn, would be fans of this title. Or I would even say Dokusei, even though it has a lot more in the future volumes, I would say that this one is also a title that you might want to look into if you like those slow burn, more about the friendship than anything else kind of relationships.
Koi Monogatari is another good one for that.
Yeah. So, moving right on. Number 7. So, Shinai Naru Jin E, which is probably going to be translated Dear Jin by Azuma Kaya. Now, this title is a spinoff or is in the same universe as our number 1 title from the 2019 Yabai list, the Rumspringa no Jukai. The description of this title is, while vacationing at his uncle's home in New York City, Jean stumbles across an old journal. Inside, he discovers his uncle's past with a man of the same name. The year is 1973. Trevor Edwards has finally made it as a New York lawyer. His success is put into jeopardy when he loses an envelope containing confidential work documents. Thankfully, his guardian angel arrives, Jean, a young homeless man who found the letter and searched high and low to return it to him. Seeing his shabby state, he is unable to leave his savior in the cold. Trevor offers Jean a job as a live-in housekeeper. This is a story of a beautiful Amish youth and a gay lawyer living together in the heart of New York City.
And it will tug at your heart.
Oh, it's so good. And if you even know of Rumspringa, it's definitely one you want to read. Themes, tropes, and trigger warnings. Of course, it's the 20th century time period. The whole manga is a flashback from young Jean reading about, I'm assuming, is his namesake. And then there is a age gap, and it's a 12-year age gap. It talks about Rumspringa, which is the Amish tradition where they come into modern day society and then go back sometimes. I would say that there's a light religious persecution because when you don't go back after Rumspringa, you're basically dead to them. And even though it's not like an overt hatred of religious persecution, that's not an easy thing to deal with. I would say that there is a slight, because of his naivete being born in such a secluded society, I would say there's a born sexy today trope. He doesn't know how to work a shower. He doesn't know how to work a TV because they don't have that in the Amish community. I would also say there's a savior trope, almost a Pygmalion archetype, where he takes him off the streets and makes him into this person and then falls in love with him. Think Eliza Doolittle from My Fair Lady kind of trope.
Except no horrible Cockney accents.
But they are in New York.
I mean, I guess if you're into that.
No judgment.
Definitely not. Not judging.
I mean, Amish speak German, so if anything, he has a German accent. So we're pretty covered in Cockney.
A Dutch.
Yeah.
I mean, they speak Pennsylvania Dutch, so.
Yeah. So did I like this title? Yes. I liked this title because it's different. And it's also, I know, for most of us who grew up in the Bible Belt, we're based in Texas. I know that I personally have a lot of sympathy for Gene and what he's going through. It kind of speaks to me. For those familiar with the 2019 title Rumspringa no Jukai, just a little reference on how that connects to this story. Gene is the older brother of Danny. He's the one who never came back. And the one that Danny was in love with, which unrequited brother love, looking at you, Mel.
I know, I'm good at this.
I'm just saying. Danny is also friends with Theo, who is the main character of Rumspringa. And I think Theo makes a cameo in this title, but you can read the two separately and still not be lost. Just letting you know that. The one thing
I can vouch for that.
Yes. Yes. But you could also read them together and make it even better. The one thing.
I'll get there.
Yes. It's so good. The one thing I would say is, and I just wanted to make this as an interesting little tidbit for people who are huge BL fans or huge BL historian type lovers. They'd make a reference to Death in Venice in Dear Jean. And Trevor calls himself Aschenbach, who is the old man from a story who's stalking a youth in Death in Venice, and Jean tells him he's not that character. He's not Aschenbach. But for those who have, maybe you're new to BL, you baby BL readers, those who don't know the history behind BL, Death in Venice has a huge influence and is said to have a huge influence over the first BL title that we can find, which is Kaze no Kita Uta. And the main character, Gilbert, is said to be heavily influenced by Tadzio, which is the handsome youth that Aschenbach is stalking in Death in Venice. But I find it fascinating that the mangaka, who, based on the publication that I was looking, like, I looked everywhere for a birth date and I don't have it. I don't know how old the mangaka is, technically, but based on the publication history and the timeline there, I'm pretty sure they're a Heisei baby, which means they're our age. You know, 30s-ish. And they're making a reference to a 1970s film, which tells me either she could just be a fan or she's really informed with BL origins. And I just find that, the historian in me finds that little interesting. But it also means that she's probably consumed a hell of a lot of BL. And so that tells you that this person is writing not only well, but also from a well-informed perspective of BL. Is this title available? And if not, who do you think will pick it up? So this title is, and also, unfortunately, I have super bad news. Rumspringa no Jukai is also not available. The Japanese publisher is Shinkosha. Also, it was available in the F-Rog magazine, and then Rumspringa was published in the Comic Chocolate magazine. Hopefully someone will pick it up. I'll take it from anyone. Like, Sublime, Renta, hit me up.
Even June.
You know,
the Amish will never read it, so they won't be offended.
Exactly. Exactly. I can promise you they won't read it. Based off of what I learned in Dear Jean, they will not read it.
Right? They don't. They only read the Bible.
That's it. They can't read. They will not know.
It's fine. Everything's fine. But honestly, this title, and also the art.
Oh, yeah. It's so
good. I have
a
lot of feelings, too.
So, you will like this Dear Jean title if, I mean, it's kind of like a happier version of New York, New York. I mean, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a happier version.
Well, but were you able to read the ending
of New York, New York, or of Dear Jean?
No, of this.
No, I haven't. And
I'm worried.
I'm worried, too.
That because Jean is not in the picture currently, that it may not end so differently to New York, New York.
So it might be the same.
Try not to think of that.
Because he is reading of his namesake, and his namesake was younger than his uncle, and his uncle's still alive. So I'm like, is Jean out for the groceries, or,
Yeah.
No. Did he go pick up a pack of cigarettes and never come back, or...
Oh, like, God.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, New York in the, like... As we get into the 80s,
true.
Like, it's a really, really terrible time for the LGBT community.
Yeah, I'm...
So, historically speaking, he would be lucky to live, even if he's in the
picture. I am terrified for the ending of this story. It's going to rip my heart out, and especially since she references Death in Venice, and we all know how that one ends. I have very, very low hopes that this is going to end happier,
like,
than New York, New
we
York.
We want it to end well, but we also know how it be.
Yeah.
The writing is on the wall.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, does he know where the hospital is if he gets stabbed by the library?
Or is he just going to walk into the goddamn library?
I mean, there's
a pole
going
to fall on him or what?
Oh.
Like, having walked in that library, you would have had an easier time going to a hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
question
God
the staff.
Damn it.
New York's not a great place for these gays.
Nope.
It is now, though.
Yeah.
And even the art style of this is kind of, it's a little bit more like Banana Fish. It's a sort of an older feel to it,
yeah.
I would say, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But some happier titles that you might like, if you like this. If you like the savior type, the take me off the streets and make me who I am, there was a Tokyopop title called Don't Call Me Dirty, which you might like. If you like the Born Today trope and like seeing it done well and not toxic, there is a webcomic called Love Bot by Chase Keels, also featuring a trans man. He's hot as hell. Go read it. It's a wholesome version of the trope in that one. If you like the live-in housekeeper feel, like, hey, you don't have a job, come work and clean my kitchen, that would be Honey Darling. If you like Honey Darling, this title might also appeal to you.
All right, so for number 6, we have Fujimi no Mainichi, Fall of an Immortal by Mushiba. It is available on Futakiya. This same author has another one on Futakiya called Heaven in the Hell, which was on last year's Survivalist 2. So for a description, Toma Mikado, heir to Mikado Holdings, has it all. Fame, looks, wits, and reputation. He's the dream guy everybody wants, and girls fawn all over him. Unfortunately for them, Toma finds them dull and knows that most of them just want him for his money. One day, Toma gets ambushed by street goons, which leads him to meeting his eccentric savior, Fujimi, who helps people as a hobby, without asking anything in return. Curious about Fujimi's kindness, Toma insists that he pay him back and learn more about the man himself. It seems Fujimi is more than what meets the eye. Themes, tropes, and trigger warnings, comedy, inhuman power, narcissism, I don't know if about narcissism, but definitely maybe a little bit of ego trip, slightly. Yeah. Rich uke, or just an extremely rich character, and salary man. This is kind of an interesting one. So I did like it. I think it would fall into the category of a gag manga, where it's just a lot of like weird jokes happening like left and right. And that's hit or miss for me, but I did like this one. And really the thing is that Toma, it's not just that he finds women in general dull. He's looking for someone, a partner who would be his equal. And all of these women just want to be trophy wives, and that's not what he wants. And so it turns out his equal is this very strange man who has superpowers, that's never really explained, but we're just going to go with it because it's a gag manga.
I was waiting for something, and we just don't ever get to know.
Like he's part god, or...
Yeah, his sister's like, yeah, he's just sort of always been like that. Anyway.
Like, what the fuck? That, you can't just pass over the dude... I don't want to spoil, but God.
Yeah. I'll go into that in a second. But so it's available on Futakiya, the whole thing. It's completely out. First chapter free if you're not a member, and then all chapters for monthly subscribers. You'd like this title if you like, so some other gag manga would be ANAL, All Nippon Airlines, and President Momoi-kun are both gag manga like that. And then I guess Sakira also has some funny, like, totally WTF plot lines like this as well, but it's not as horny as that. But basically, this character is kind of like the opposite, in a way, from in Simplified Pervert Romance, where the guy likes getting beats up. This guy likes to get in fights because it makes him feel, like, alive to do so, because everything, his life is just boring or whatever. So he just likes getting in fights, which is also kind of like Dose Yankee Akamatsu 7, that one guy likes fighting also. So...
Bad Boys Happy Home.
It was funny. It was out there. And the one character super over the top. And I don't know. It was a fun read.
All right. Number 5 is 25G Akasaka Day, or At 25 O'Clock in Akasaka, by Natsuno Hiroko. Yuki Shirasaki finally lands a huge role in TV drama Afternoon Dreams after years of toiling in theater. With popular actor Asami Hayama as his co-star, Shirasaki plays a gay character in a relationship. But Shirasaki has zero dating experience with other men or women. Shirasaki struggles to express his character's feelings and takes drastic measures. To better embrace his new role, Shirasaki goes to a gay bar to find someone to sleep with for the experience. There, he runs into Hayama. How will Shirasaki react when Asami offers him his body? So, some of the themes, tropes, and trigger warnings. We have actors, method acting, sex friends to lovers, pining. And did I enjoy this title? I personally really liked this title. It was, for me, this whole year was really great. Like, I think what y'all are hearing is that, well, A, we reviewed the things we liked and that we liked a lot of things. But I had actually read this one prior to this year's list. For me, the artwork was really gorgeous. Like, I clicked on this on Futakiya because the cover was just, like, so striking to me. especially because there was like a beautiful blonde character. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna read this. And I felt like the fake dating aspect was really interesting because this is a trope that you see a lot in MN romance. And I don't want to say like fake dating, like they're actually dating, but that kind of like, well, I'll just help you out. Like, we know that they're really dating, but they're like not calling it dating, but it's like, okay, y'all are like sleeping together. Like, you're doing everything but put the label on it. And we find that trope kind of in MN romance novels. It's not so common in like BL manga. So I thought that that was kind of an interesting thing. And just in general, enjoyed this, really liked the art style. So I was really keen to read more by this author. Again, like we said, this is up on Futakiya. So if you want to read it there, if you have a subscription, otherwise the first chapter is available for free. And I don't think they have the second volume published yet, but I think I remember that they had acquired it. So only the first volume is up. If you liked, you know, BL like Dakaichi, I think that's the most obvious comparison here, given that it was also about two actors. It was a little bit more of a hot and cold dynamic. In this case, you have much more of a like virginal character and an experienced character, which I think that if you've been into some of the kind of AV storylines, there's some that have kind of come up where you've got, you know, like somebody who doesn't know a lot about sex, who's dating a porn star. Those have kind of been appealing. Embracing Love may be an okay comp, even though in this case, they're not AV actors at all. But it's still kind of people working in the acting industry. And again, I think that if you like the kind of fake dating stories you see in MM romance titles, particularly the really big ones that have hit like Red, White, and Royal Blue or Boyfriend Material, then you would get you would really enjoy this title as well. Number four is Kit.
Yes. So I have Koi o Suru Sumori wa Nakata. I Didn't Mean to Fall in Love by Suzumaru Minta. So Mel did kind of hint that we may see another title from her later, and here it is. So if you forgot, Minta did write Golden Sparkle, which was on last year's Yabai list. Anyway, short description. Yoshino is gay, 30, and definitely not flirty. He's never even dated anyone. He seems to have accepted the fact that he'll die alone, until one night, in a gay bar for the first time in his life, he meets young, charming, silver-haired Ro and grabs some drinks with him. Yoshino is drawn to Ro's mysterious charm, and they spend the night together talking. One thing leads to another, and suddenly that's not the only thing they're doing. A sloppy, happy love story between a handsome college student playing the game of love the easy way and a working adult who has yet to know what love is. Themes, tropes, and trigger warnings. There is a 9-year age gap. This is definitely a story with a 30-year-old virgin, but he does not become a wizard. We have a first time in the bed and then times at a gay bar. Actually, a couple of gay bars because he does go to one that's less calm. Did I like this title? Yes, this is so good. And Yoshino is just so pure. Like... He experiences so many firsts, and it's just, I love it. It's so soft, but also spicy.
I like this one. It's funny because it opens on him masturbating on a dildo. So
yeah,
he's a guy. He knows what he wants, but he doesn't know how to get it until one day somebody like he overhears someone say gay bar. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. You mean I can go to a Hatenba meetup spot and just take someone home? Why haven't I thought of that? I'm 30.
Honestly, though, awkward. Why haven't you thought of that? I mean,
he's awkward.
It's 2021. Yeah. And he's 30. So, like, the internet was a thing, my dude, as you grew up.
Well, now he's watching and it's like,
porn on it.
Yeah, and obviously he's ordering his toys from online. Like, how has he missed the concept of a gay bar, Yoshino? So he's kind of dumb, which we all know that's what I'm here for 24/7. But it's just, he's so soft. And then Ro is just, he's just this cocky little shit because, you know, everybody likes him and just, yeah. Oh, it's such a good title. But that's just what we've been getting from Minta, honestly.
Gold.
Just constantly good stories. This is available on Futakiya, so you can read it legally, and it's really good and definitely worth getting a subscription for. So you can read past the first chapter. And like Charles said, this definitely jumps right into some spice because you open up that first page and, oh, hello, he's on a dildo. What other BL media? I mean, we've said it. If you like any of Minta's works, Golden Sparkle, that's definitely going to be, this one is going to be on your list as well. I would also say if you like 30 Years Cherry Magic, but you wish it had more spice, this is it. This is the one you want.
Can I also say that, so it's called I Didn't Mean to Fall in Love, and every time I see it in my head, I hear it to the tune of I Fooled Around and Fell in Love.
I always hear from Hercules, that's, you know what song, No Chance, No Way, I Won't Say It. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what I always hear, but I'm glad that I'm not the only one that gets a song in their head.
Y'all be singing and I read Snooki, so, you know.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of experiences happening as we go through these titles. But on to number three, Charles.
Yeah, that's an experience.
Before I go into this one, did anybody like this one?
No.
Yes.
I have something against this author.
I want to hear your counterpoint when I talk about it. Just FYI. Oh,
okay.
Okay, so number three is Happy Kuso Raifu, Happy Shitty Life by Harada. This is a story of Kyotaro Kasuya, who's an elite businessman, who caused a scandal at his company and gets sent off to a remote rural area and meets a weird, unemployed, living off his grandmother's pension neighbor, Yoshiyuki Kuzuya. And the thing that they have in common is they both like to get pegged.
They just fucking love it.
There's nothing better for them than a hot girl drilling them. Okay, so themes, tropes, and trigger warnings. Sex friends, comedy, smut, neat. That would be Kuzuya, is a neat. Countryside, rape side plot, unemployment, and uke by uke. All right, so did I like it? Not really. Okay. So the setup sounded good. It's two guys who love bottom. So it's an uke by uke story. But really, they're both straight. And out of convenience, they are fucking each other. But they're not gay. And they don't want to be with a man. They want to be with a lady who will do that to them. So they're also both terrible people. Like, they're not likable characters, which I guess is pretty up the Harada lane. Mm-hmm. She's in her lane there. But also, it turns out that the whole thing is like a giant rape joke. Like, when it says rape side plot, yeah, not a fan of that, as it turns out. So I'll let you everybody read that without spoiling it. But that was the final straw. For me personally. So anybody who did enjoy this, I'd like to hear like how you read it, because I know we all have different takes on things.
So to be fair, like, I do think that there was a whole lot of like complete not okayness with the side plot, because there's so much gaslighting that goes on. Like, I don't know, that was definitely not handled well. But I think what appealed to me was kind of this twist on, like, you know, oh, we're both bottoms. Like, that's still a little unique in terms of, like, because it's not one of these we're both bottoms, who's gonna bottom. It's like, no, they both want it, they're both greedy. But I the whole, like, I don't know, like, happy shitty life, where it's like they're both terrible people, they're like competing for who had the most like fucked up story, or like who's done the most embarrassing thing. So they're just really like pitiful characters, but not in a way that I like pity them. I'm like, they're just, I don't know, it's hard to describe. I don't know, there was a lot of appeal in the fact that they were both so absolutely fucking pathetic. Like, mm-hmm. And I think that it had some of the same, like, crack factor as, like at one point it gets way, like, crackier. Oh, it's, yeah. Like, not even just, yeah, there's like, it's like Vibrator Company levels of, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so as somebody who can appreciate that kind of, like, Yarachin Vibrator Company, like, what's going on? Like, I think for me it fell kind of in that category. And, like, there's a lot of stuff in Yarachin that I'm like, hey, that's not really okay either. But I still really love it because it's so funny. And some of the characters there are, like, equally absolutely fucking pathetic. But the other like half of it does kind of like the more realistic, like if you can ignore the realistic stuff, I think that there's something if you like titles that are kind of like really on the like yabai side of things.
Yeah. I mean, would you agree with me that they're basically both heterosexual?
Yeah. So it's actually hard to even, I guess, consider this like a BL in that sense. I guess it's like, okay, they're getting like dicks up their butt, but they're not really like there's really no hope for them to ever become a couple. Like there's absolutely no kind of romantic stuff that's going to happen. The sense that I got, at least, I don't know where this is going with Harada.
It falls more into the bromance category.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting one because it's so hypersexual for the bromance stuff. I mean, it's interesting because it was also like ridiculously popular in Japan. Like they made perfume for it. They made a lot of really weird merch. And so I think it's interesting just in that sense. Like, I don't know. I guess this is one of those that maybe like purely from a just like voyeuristic point of view, like, I don't even care if anything good happens to these guys. Like, just the fact that they're so pathetic, I'm like, yeah, you're pathetic. Like, it just gets to be really crude in a way, which, I mean, as a consumer of a lot of, like, crude adult, like, late-night cartoons, like, I guess I could kind of, like...
That's a good way to put it,
Find the humor in that, you know? But if you're, like, I don't know, if you can't handle, like, you know, poop jokes and all kinds of terrible bathroom humor, this is going to be... I don't know. Like, this is not my proudest moment. Like, I don't think I, like, love this, but I enjoyed it enough to, like, keep reading, you know? And I guess if it were licensed, I'd probably buy it. I don't know. I don't think this will ever get licensed.
Can I just ask a quick question? Is the perfume Astroglide scented?
I don't know.
On earth perfume would you have for this?
I'm not sure, but I can tell you it's high-end Pre-Maniacs perfume, and is going to cost you probably like $60 or $70, and then all your import stuff, and you're probably going to have to, this would be a lot of money if you actually wanted to buy this perfume, but...
Pass. Hard pass.
I mean, the other BL titles that got perfume were stuff like Escape Journey and Twittering Birds, if that puts anything into perspective. Yeah. I think we're looking at a certain caliber of what the fuck, spice, weirdness, like, I don't know.
I feel like this isn't my title. Like, I really have a thing against Harada. Like, I do not like her stuff. But I feel like there would be a huge market over here if it could ever get published. Because consistently, our most listened to episode is our Yarachin. Yeah, like, we have over 1,000 listens on Yarachin. And that's part one and two that we did in the reviewed. And I'm like, clearly people like this explicit, crazy, almost crack-like, almost no storyline kind of story. And I think there's a serious market out there. And I think a lot of people, the fact that it's a comedy makes some of the darker points a lot better to swallow, because you can be like, okay, yeah, that's bad, but none of this is real. And he just stuck a dildo to a fan, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think it's definitely unhinged. And it's interesting because I think that there would be some weird crossover appeal for guys who enjoy this kind of stuff, like who would actually want to get pegged. Mm-hmm. Because the heterosexual aspect really is what is kind of unique, because it's not like it's kind of BL, but it's not really, like, it's bromance. So I think that there might be more guys who would read this kind of content than, say, maybe like Fujoshi, because I think that at the end of the day, like, I'm kind of like, if they're not really going to get together, like, there's limited for me.
Yeah,
it's a lot more of just like the, I guess, crack and then maybe like sexual appeal of it. Like, I don't know.
So it is not licensed. It's published in Japan by Takeshobo through Kupa. You probably like this title if you like Harada, though it is lighter content for Harada overall. But if you like something like Yatomomo, you'll like it. Kuzuya has a little bit of like Yashiro in him, because of that whole rape side story. Hey. Mm-hmm. And I also said the Kabeana series, Kabeana Money Hole, Kabeana Honey Hole, which is guys who like getting done up the butt, and they work at a sex shop where their back half is sticking out through a wall, and so the customer can't see their front half, and totally random. But that made me think of this a little bit. And then on Futakiya, there's a title that's just recently come out called Midnight Association for the Brokenhearted, which is a kind of a one-shot collection. But chapters 1 and 2 is a story of two bottoms and who's going to have to top because they both want a bottom so bad. And it's pretty funny in this one. It's a comedy. That's probably the best thing on Futakiya that you could read. I liked that one a lot. All right. So next we have number 2. Kit, take it away.
All right, number 2, we have Old Fashioned Cupcake by Sagan Sagan, and it is unlicensed. Sleep, wake, and work. That sums up the day-to-day life of 39-year-old Nozu. A routine that eases him and conversely weighs heavily on him, which worries the hard-eyed but reliable Togawa, a 29-year-old subordinate of his. In an unexpected turn of events, the two of them end up visiting a pancake shop bustling with girls. And other things happen.
Super cute things happen.
Yeah, that summary doesn't do nearly enough. There's a lot of cute, fluffy, quote-unquote, dates. Anyway, what are themes, trope, and trigger warnings for this title? It is definitely a slice of life. There is, of course, subordinate and boss relationships. So if you're not into that kind of power dynamic, which, not that there's any use of the power, but some people still get uncomfortable with it, so... They are office workers.
Salarymen.
Yes, and they are actually, like, men. Well, at least Nozu is, because he is 39 years old. He's an adult. An actual real adult. And so we have the older Uke with the 10-year age gap, and then there is a midlife crisis, which I feel for you, Nozu. I feel for you. Did I like this title? So I have a lot of mixed feelings about this one, because... At the end of the day, yes, I enjoy the story and the characters very much. However...
Quit clapping.
The nail taps.
Sorry, I can't help it.
This is an audio medium.
I know. I have a lot of feelings about this one, okay? Because, like, yes, I like so many things about this one. Because, A, it's got an older character with, like, actual... worries, you know, like, you know, or am I wasting my life by being alone? No, I'm totally okay being alone. Like that kind of debate you have internally. And I love how just sweet Togawa is and how he helps Nozu. Like that whole thing just clutches at my heart. But there were some chapters that were too long or like they focused on things that were just not engaging. So yeah.
I would say sometimes there's just too much dialogue sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just too much.
It's execution on some of the chapters is just really not great. So I think people should absolutely stick with it, but know that you could get a little bored on some scenes or some pages. So
yeah. I expected to really like this one because it sounds like it's in my lane. It has salarymen, they eat sweets, and somebody that I used to follow on Tumblr was really excited about this one when it first started, I guess, serializing in Japan. And so I finally got to read it, and it's too slow or too much dialogue or something. And I think you could, like, read into it a little bit, like, the main character, Nozue, he feels a little bit constrained, and you could read into it that he feels a little bit constrained by gender roles, I guess. He wants to be like young girls. He wants to be, which is part of the midlife crisis thing. He wants to go out to a cafe with a friend and just have fun and be able to, you know, hold hands or like lean in close to his friend, like women and girls are able to do, but men just can't do that. So, I mean, you could have that kind of critical reading of it, but that's not where the author really went in detail. That's not what the dialogue was about necessarily. It was just kind of dragged.
I feel like there's maybe too much work stuff. Like that may be where the kind of dialogue is just like
Yeah, it's a little bloated in the middle probably, because I felt like where they have the break for volume 1 and volume 2, I'm like, most of what you would expect in volume 2 would have been still in volume 1 maybe. It just seemed like it took a while to get there. But I will say that reading this during pandemic, I had major FOMO. I wanted to eat those. Like, I because I've had those, like, Japanese fluffy pancakes, yes. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, everywhere they went was like, I can't go here because I'm stuck at home, right? Not catching COVID. Like, so it was kind of, it was good in that sense, but it was also just like, oh, I want to eat all this stuff.
I'm 100% with you.
Like, it just seemed like a tease. And it was a tease in a lot of ways, but.
And I didn't love the art.
Really?
Hmm. No, I didn't love it.
Oh, I kind of liked it. I felt like for me, I guess there was like a certain quality to the way that the pen was that I don't know. I really enjoyed the expressiveness of it.
I really liked how Nozu was drawn. Like, I feel like he had the strongest style because like his hair was just really pretty, but like you could also tell like he was older, like if that makes sense, mm-hmm. like. I knew it was going to be silverish hair versus, like, bright blonde or something.
I love Togawa's art. I don't know why. He was just so manly.
He's very manly. I just sometimes got him confused with the other coworker. And that's probably just because, like, they had that traditional look.
Men in suits.
Yeah. This is one that I think would translate really well to, like, a live-action drama series.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Agreed.
In terms of their... Like, I felt like looking at the characters, I was like, I can already picture kind of what this guy looks like. It felt very stylish or very, like, contemporary mm-hmm. in that sense, that they were kind of real.
Definitely on the heels of Cherry Magic.
Yeah, exactly.
And Osan's love. Ugh.
Cherry Magic was one of my... You know, if you're a fan of it, you'll like this. But I would enjoy this. As a live action, like, seeing them in line surrounded by girls just looking at them and being like, oh my god, look at these handsome guys here. So, of course, this is still unlicensed. It does feel like something maybe, I don't want to say Tokyo Pop, but, like, Seven Seas might pick up? Maybe Yen Press?
Yeah.
Or Sublime. I mean, come on, guys. We're throwing titles at you. Really?
Yeah, Sublime has done stuff with his publisher before, for sure. So they would be a natural.
But... This is one of the big magazines.
Because it's Ear Hertz, which is Taiyo Tosho. So fingers crossed. Especially, like, I'm still going to want to read this because of how it ended.
Oh, yeah.
On book two. Like,
I need resolution.
I need to know, but... I will admit, there's some slow parts, but fans of other BL media would be fans of this. Said it earlier, Cherry Magic, because you've got that kind of cute office dynamic. I would say webcomic-wise, probably Smurfs World a little bit. Not so much with the embezzlement thing, but just like in the office and, you know, pining for someone. So maybe a little bit of, so I just think because it's in office, Sekai Ichi, though, just kind of a little bit on that level. So, yeah.
What did you eat yesterday be a good comp for the food angle?
Yeah, I do think I think that one and then maybe, oh God, there was another food one recently.
Our dining table?
Oh,
our dining table would be good for this. I mean, it doesn't have that family relationship, but it's got that slow, sweet romance kind of thing with the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I want to eat with somebody.
And I'm always a sucker if one of the characters is a really good cook, and Nozu is. And so that makes me happy. All right. And on to the number one title.
Woo! Drum roll.
Yes, actually, I was kind of floored. I was shocked that this made the title, that this I had to look at my calendar because I was like, what year is it?
But really, though.
Really? 2020 did us dirty again.
What?
Like, honestly, did not expect to see this title in the year of our Lord 2021.
Nope. Had no idea. But... Y'all will recognize this. Everyone here who's listening, whose majority of you have probably heard of this. Haru o Daite Ita, alive. And there's the big difference. The alive at the end is the difference. So we all know Haru o Daite Ita is Embracing Love by Nida Yoka. And it is The Embracing Love title is actually published by Sublime, but this is the Embracing Love Alive, which is a sequel to the original. And it made our top list. This, in this year, it's back, guys. It's back.
I feel like what this year? Is a political choice. Like, they put it there because it's monumental that it's coming back, not because, you know, who knows. But
yeah.
I get the feeling it's not because it was better than anything else on this list.
That's...
See, I was surprised because I thought that they canceled her after she, like, traced some, like, art. But I guess
she
not.
Had to go to, like, to mangaka jail for a while, I think. But she's out now.
Okay. Is right. that, like, gay baby jail?
Oh, my gosh.
It's like... I don't know, like a basketball player being suspended for two seasons because they cheated yeah. or something.
Got,
I don't
she
know.
Got benched.
Yeah.
I mean, it's surprising benched. What you can do and go to mangaka jail and then what you can do and then not go to any kind of jail for in Japan. But mm-hmm. I digress.
Should we explain that just briefly? I guess this mangaka, she stole, not stole, sorry. She used some like Dolce & Gabbana references to illustrate this couple, and Dolce & Gabbana got mad about it. I think it was DG. It was
definitely not just like a hey, we like used an outfit. It was like this is an ad campaign and she traced it.
Now Japan has a long history of doing that. She just got I mean
it happened in Yuri on Ice too.
Yuri on Ice with the Blaze of Glory thing or whatever. Yeah. But
I mean that was not tracing though. That I think here part of it was appropriation of something she shouldn't mm-hmm. have.
She because, went too far.
Yeah, but she traced it and that was really the crime because otherwise, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens in anime and manga where that's like, okay, you should not have used that exactly. like apartment design. You stole that from some architect.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But it happens. In this case, it was a worse
She
thing.
Took it too far, and she got in trouble. So she had to stop publishing this title for a long time, I guess. And maybe anything, but particularly this. And so now she's back. The copyright is up, or whatever happened.
Back.
Her sentence has been served.
Yes.
So let me read the description for The Alive, The Embracing Love Alive, which is what made the list. The role of Naga was offered to Kaoto Yuji to perform under Mune's direction. However,
I'm already lost.
Does
anybody remember Iwaki. Who any of these people are?
No.
No explanation.
I just remember the awkward nipple.
Oh,
looking.
I know. Disgusting.
That's the only thing that it will be remembered for.
Iwaki-san has just finished playing for the same role for Taiga Drama. Will Kaoto accept to jump the successful wagon of his partner's drama? One day, Kaoto meets accidentally Sawa-san, but her personality has changed, and Kaoto suspects her of intentions. On
who is she?
I don't remember. On the other hand, Iwaki-san meets Yukihito, which is Sawa-san's lover. And just found out that Yukihito has left Sawa-san's side and works as AD. What could be the outcome of the separation?
Oops. Oh my god. Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on.
That's a perfect summary of Hoomst. Okay, so I think I know what's happening, actually.
Yeah.
Hoomst, indeed. Okay, so Kato Yoji and Iwaki, those are the two main characters. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then, if you remember, the beginning of this was... I believe Kato is the older, slightly older, black-haired Uke one. He had played this character in a series, and then they made a movie. Or no, they made a movie, and he was the main character. And then they're going to turn it into a series, and in the series, the other guy was going to be the main character, and he was going to be the boyfriend, because why would you do that? I don't know, but whatever. And the writer of that series was Sawa, I believe. If not, it was somebody else. And then... he was lovers with his cousin, Yukihito, and then they had to do this, like, audition thing, and they're like, I'm writing an orgy scene, so I want to have an orgy with you guys. Come over here, we'll have a foursome, and then it was a whole mess. But is that ringing a bell from people remembering the OVAs?
Yeah, it might, the pronouns, I think, like, because I'm not sure how Sawa-san, like, identifies, mm-hmm. so, because here I heard, I saw yeah. her, and maybe mistakenly presumed there was a cishet female amongst them and was like, what's going on here?
Honestly, I stole the description from Baka Updates.
It sounds like they're circling back to the Aridge OVA 1. What happened? Who knows? It's time for a reboot, apparently, of this.
Ugh, yikes.
In reboot land.
Is it?
I shouldn't talk. I mean, the Maiden Rose reboot was, like, kind of the same thing. So,
so we have actors. We have AV actors. We have manly main couples. We have a secret child. A reversible couple and a jealousy, of course. And then also, this is a classic BL. It really is. I will say that, did you like this title? I mean, we joke about it, but really, this is one of the OG BLs. It takes me back. It's one of the early animes I watched. You know, it was one of the first animes I watched for BL. Right there with Sensitive Pornograph. And now with the last of this sequel coming out, it's kind of heartwarming and also sad because it's closing a chapter that was in our BL Fujoshi lives and now it's just gone. It's kind of sentimental, I think.
Well, you can't plagiarize yourself. It's not a thing. So it sounds like we're going.
Yeah.
She'll be okay.
Is this title available? And if it's not available, so it's not available. But Sublime did Haru o Date Ita, and so maybe they'll get the sequel if they feel like there's a market for it in 2021.
Does anyone remember who originally published this? Because somebody else published it first, maybe Blue, I'm not sure.
Was, it was, like, not Queen.
801 Drama Queen?
Like
no.
B-Boys? Doki Doki?
B-Boys.
Anyway, Sublime got the license after that, and they published it as, like, omnibus volumes, yeah. I think. So, you know, who knows if that license is still
probably
active,
not.
But they were certainly the last ones to publish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been out. Like, it's been in the English market for quite a while.
And for you youngins, and I gotta call you out, for you youngins who are like, you guys talk like this is a known title and I have no idea what you're talking about. For you youngins, you might like Embracing Love if you're like an old hand, you like it because you liked Yellow and other things like that that are classic BL. But if you're a youngin and want to see if you like Embracing Love alive, if you like Love Stage and wanted a more grungy adult version of it, you might like Embracing Love. If you like Dakaichi, which are both actors as well, you might like Embracing Love. If you like manly, switchable couples, but with more sex than Ten Dance, you might like Embracing Love. That was the number one title, guys. It was a surprise. It was out of nowhere. But last, the thing we want to quickly touch on is we have two more questions left. We have some superlatives that Mel is going to read to us, and then from the Yabai list, and then we're going to talk about our favorite title on this list, each of us, personally. All right, so I'm going to hand it over to Mel.
All right, so we have the top five best seme. Number one, Urakawa Shinobu from Sonai Iu Nara Daite Yaru, which was number 11. Yes. Number two is Narasaki Motochika from Blue Sky Complex, just number 17. Number three is Kato Yoji from Haru o Daite Alive, which was the number one. Number four is a fan favorite, Azumaya Junta from Dakaichi. And number five is Sahashi Toma from Cosmetic Play Lover by Narashima Sachi. And for best uke, our top five. Number one, we have Iwaki Kyosuke from Haru o Daite Ita Alive. Number two, Terashima Natsuki from Blue Sky Complex. Number three, fan favorite as well, Saijo Takato from Dakaichi. Number four, Kijima Nao from Delivery Hug Therapy by Miyata Toworu. And number five, Omoteya Hikaru from Sonani Iu Nara Daite Yaru. Now we have our Megane characters. Our top three Megane, which are Glasses Boys, are Narasaki Motochika from Blue Sky Complex. Ooh. Number two is Urakawa Shinobu from Sonai Iru... I can't say this one.
Sonani Iu Nara Daite Yaru.
Arigato.
And also his
glasses
are...
so I don't know if they
his
count.
His glasses are disguised They're the Coke bottle glasses that the boy in Sailor Moon has. That's their classmate, basically, with the swirl and everything. If
they're
I
as effective
correctly.
As Clark Kent, so I don't know if he counts as a Meganaut.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty effective.
And rounding out our top three Megane, we have Trevor Edwards from Shinai Naru Jean A, which is Dear Jean. Then we have two more superlatives. We have our number one Oyaji, which are our old man. We have Nozue from Old Fashioned Cupcake, which I just imagine that's so fun to say in Japanese, like old fashioned kapukeki or something.
Yes.
Super yeah. cute. Kapukeki is the best word. And then we have our tsundere, which is Omoteya Hikaru from Sonnani Iyu Nara Daite Yaru. Someday I'll get it.
Yes.
So
there's a lot of superlatives, but we just did the ones that were appearing in this list.
Yes. Yeah, if you buy the whole book, it's actually really interesting if you can read Japanese or have a friend who does, because they go into a lot of detail for like best S, best M, best all kinds of stuff. And that's where you get to see characters who maybe didn't make characters from titles that didn't make the list. Like Dakaichi is always up here, even though it never makes the list. So there's enough people who like the characters for some other things, but maybe the title in and of itself isn't like popping for people.
I was really sad to see that for the first time in many years, Domeki and Yashiro were not on the best Seimei and Uke list.
No, right? And the movie's been coming out. I was like, what happened? Like, if of all the times to like fumble here.
I mean, my favorite characters so made it, so.
Robbed.
Yep.
Sarah's like, whatever, this is the best list ever.
Ever. Okay, we'll be back next year. Things will happen. I don't know. I'm gonna see us climb back to the top for Twittery Birds. So maybe we need to knock off these Dakaichi boys. So I don't care if it's Reiwa. I can't let the best Seimei stay here with Junta.
We'll just
like,
knock off the Haru Dakaichi.
Actually, that's a good yeah. We can just go ahead and cut those right there. Sorry,
replace.
Yes. So that was our. Everybody knows that that is not our favorite title on the list. But what was everybody's actual favorite title?
Oh my god! So last year I made one wish to the BL gods, and that was that a publisher would pick up Doyetsu Yankee Akumatsu 7, which was on the list from 2019. And the BL gods delivered with Sublime. They picked it up and they're publishing it this year. That's right. You can buy it as Bad Boy Happy Home. And we're getting both volumes this year. So in case lightning strikes twice, my one wish is that the BL gods will pick up, hopefully in print. Otherwise, I'll take what I can get. Sona ni lu nare date yaru by Niyama, because I need that gap moe and I need the Hikaru Tamaki slash character in my life.
So this is a hard one for me, because I feel like last year when I read stuff, like probably half of the list, I was like, I'm not all that big of a fan of it. Or I think last year there was a lot more like really out there stuff. This year it felt not a lot of the same, but it was a lot of things that I like. So I'm predisposed to enjoying most of this list. But I think if I had to pick a favorite, it's going to have to be Lightning Strikes Cupid, or however it's romanized, just because Suzumaru Minta is like probably my newest favorite right now. And I think that it was unique enough. It just really, really got to me. And as much as I loved her other title on the list, I think that the Lightning Strikes Cupid was just, I don't know, it was super moe for me. But Someday I'll Fall in Love is a very close second, because I don't know, I'm a sucker for those kinds of stories.
Yeah, I think as far as things to get licensed, the title by Niyama, Sonani Unidare, blah, 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 it's probably a pretty safe bet, because Renta has so many of her titles. And I also really liked the one chapter that we were able to read of that one. Normally I would say Blue Sky Complex, but because I always say Blue Sky Complex, as a second or third choice, I liked that one, Sonani Yu Nara Daite Yaru. And also, I Didn't Mean to Fall in Love was good, too.
I hate it when y'all ask me to pick a favorite, because I never just have one.
Every time we ask you.
I know, I mean, this is why I'm bisexual, right? I can't make a decision.
Oh my god, that's the
You're
best.
Such a fucking Libra.
Except I'm a Taurus.
See, I'm a lesbian, so I just fall in love with all the characters and all the stories really quickly, and then we break up.
I just,
I really, really loved I Didn't Mean to Fall in Love, but I mean, the main character's so pure and dumb, so that's inevitable. But Dear Jean, like, as soon as I finished the current chapter that's out, I was scouring the internet hoping maybe...
Oh my god, I need it.
Yeah, I was like, maybe someone has done, like, the roughest translation, but I just need to know what happens, you know?
Rumspringa has been out for years. They need to publish it. Ugh.
On it, like... Sublime, come on. We're going to at you. So, like, at this point, you should be taking notes. But I also really like simplified perverted romance. And I didn't think I would just based on that summary. But, God, those two are so stupid. It just... I can't wait to see. I assume with how the story's going, Volume 4 will probably be the last. Because, like, if they keep dragging some stuff out, then it's going to be like, okay, come on. We get it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were a lot of winners, so I don't know. I like them. I'll just default to I Didn't Mean to Fall in Love. There, I did it. I made a choice.
It's a good one. You made a good choice.
Thank you.
And then I'd like to quickly give a shout out to on Twitter at @BL_corner has a thread of the Kono BL Ga Yabai 2021 best manga with their titles, their cover, like their... an image of their cover and the Twitter handle of all of the mangaka. If you want to go and see a visual representation, you can go and head over to their Twitter.
Hell yeah, mutual Twitter shout out.
And I think that's it for our Yabai list. This was another long episode, but I hope it's interesting. I hope you now know what you need to shout into the void of the publishers to tell them, hey, I really want to read this. Hopefully we've given you some things to look out for and some titles to read from Futakiya and Sublime and Renta.
Yeah, we're super hashtag blessed that so many things were already available.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you can read a lot of this year legally.
It's so good. Like, yes. Futakiya and Renta have truly changed the game, I feel like. It's just made it so much easier to get a hold of this stuff.
Yes. So if you haven't gotten a Futakiya, I mean, a lot of these were published by Futakiya already. And so if you haven't gotten a Futakiya subscription, you need to get one because they're not only getting titles, they're getting the best of titles and they're getting them quickly. So check it out. Go do it.
Yeah. Because we generally take sort of an anti-scanlation stance as far as you need to read things legally, but we made an exception for this list because, I mean, we would have been missing a pretty good chunk if we didn't, even if we were only able to read the one chapter. But that helps us advocate for things getting picked up.
We need to know what we need to show. We'll be tagging all those licensors.
Yes. But thank you guys for coming and listening to our Yabai List 2020. We are so thankful for you guys listening. We want to remind you to check out our sister podcast, The 801 Reviewed, as well as all of our past episodes on The 801. And also check us out on Twitter and check us out on Facebook. We are here to discuss with you about any titles that we've talked about. We are welcome all questions and we will answer any questions you have about it. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and say goodbye.
Bye!
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The 801. If you would like to learn more about us, check us out on our website at blgardendfw.com or check us out on Twitter at blgardendfw. If you love this podcast and are considering supporting us, find us on Patreon or Ko-Fi, and you can get your name on the podcast like Ambo Snyder, Crystal Marie, Joey Kiss, Carlise Williams, CJ, Audrey G, Christina Coleman, and Barb Colt. In addition, please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. We really appreciate every last one of you. And until next time, this is your host, signing out.